Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a saying here at Strength for the Journey that truth is the fuel for the journey. Applying the truth will give you strength for the journey. We have a website called Strength for the Journey. It's strength with the number 4, thejourney.com. We have quite a few articles written. These radio broadcasts are posted each night. After each of our broadcasts, we post it on the website. And this one will be program number 20. And we think you'll enjoy the program tonight. We're going to talk a little bit tonight about vetting the bride. And that is our walk with the Lord all about Him accepting us. You know, many of us say that we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. But the day that we stand before Him will be the day that He accepts us. And many people don't realize that. They just see it as, well, I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and therefore I'm in heaven. But there's a very alarming moment for many that will stand before Him one day. And they say to Him, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? Have we not cast out devils and in Thy name done many wonderful works? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity. And then he goes on, this is in Matthew chapter 7. Therefore, whoever hears my sayings and does them, I will liken in him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears my sayings and does them not, I will liken him unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. There is a real key that Jesus wants us to understand, that every day that we live, we're either building our house on a rock or on sand. And it is really all about obedience, that when we do what God wants us to do, then we're building it on the truth, and we're building it on a rock. That when the storms and the tests of life come, that we don't get washed away. And many of us just think that just saying a prayer is what's going to get us into heaven. And according to Jesus, it's not that way at all. That there is a testing that comes during our lifetime, almost like a proving of whether we really love Him. Jesus said in John chapter 14, if you love me, you'll keep my words. You'll keep my commandments. You'll do what I've asked you to do. And he's really checking and testing our obedience of whether we love him or not. And the love is demonstrated by our obedience. We're not like this little daisy petal in his hand. He's pulling little petals off one at a time saying, he loves me, he loves me not. He's looking to see whether we really love him by our actions on a daily basis. He said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before the Father. There's so many things that we are being tested with on a daily basis that we don't realize how we're being tested and even when the test will come. And some of the strongest disciples who thought they had it down and that they could pass any test that came their way, even after walking 3 years, they failed because they didn't realize that they weren't ready for the test. And this is what is really, when we do what God wants us to do and we're humbly serving Him, there's a strength that comes that we've built our house on what we know is right. And many of us today are living lives that are doing things that we shouldn't be doing and we know we shouldn't be. And we think that we're forgiven no matter what we do because the blood of Jesus covers past, present, and future sins. But there's nothing that says that in the Bible. It says, the soul that sinneth shall die. And when you realize that, you know, Jesus is really looking this walk that we call ourselves a Christian, he's looking to see whether we really love him. And one day, it'll all come out whether we do or we don't. And I know that something the Lord has really been doing in my life lately is just really, he's really been changing my heart and changing my want-tos. And he's looking for a heart that's willing. He's looking for really someone that really does want to do what he wants us to do. When Solomon was, I guess the baton was being passed to Solomon back in the book of 1 Chronicles, David gave him kind of a challenge and was looking to see whether he was, well, it was giving him the qualifications of being a leader like him. And he said, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the Lord God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind." And he said, "If you will seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." And there was a dividing line between having a perfect heart and a willing mind and a heart that was willing to seek him, that he would be found. But he made the contrast on the other side. It's like the flip side of the coin, that if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. And Jesus is looking for a bride. And there's an article I wrote here a while back. It's called "Till Death Do Us Part." And as I was writing this article, the Lord began to show me a number of things about when he said, "Follow me." He said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And that was to the fishermen. He called Matthew as he was collecting taxes. And each one of these men just left whatever they were doing and followed him. Jesus didn't say, "Follow me, I'm going here, I'm going there." He didn't give them any sort of indication where he was going. He just said, "Follow me." And they were obedient to follow him, even though he didn't say where he was going. And as I was writing this article, there were some things that the Lord began to reveal to me. And I'm just going to read kind of the end here of this article. And it's, "If God could command obedience from the demons and even the elements of nature, could he not command obedience from us all? He could have chose to, but he didn't. Rather than force obedience on us, he seeks those who will follow him out of an obedient heart. We are the love of his life. The wedding ring he desires to place on our finger comes from his heart. The evidence of his love for us is overwhelming. His love is even demonstrated in the creation of each of us and every one of us, as each of us was conceived from the very act of love itself. Still, his love is demonstrated that even with all that he owns, he gave no prenuptial agreement to restrict access to his assets, but rather quite the opposite. Luke 12:32 says, 'Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.' When his love was tested in the Garden of Gethsemane, it didn't fail, but responded, 'Yes, I do, till death do us part.' Now he is asking us to make the same wedding vow today, 'Till death do us part.' Do we truly love him? Do we trust him? Will we be the faithful bride he desires and follow him to the wedding chapel? When he said, 'Follow me,' this is where he wants us to follow him. Our entire future and destiny is riding on our response. What will it be? I will or I won't." And I know that the ultimate destiny that the Lord is taking us and wanting us to go is to this wedding chapel, this marriage of the Lamb. And I go back and I think about the 10 virgins that were waiting for his bride to return, waiting for the bride to return. And 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. And what made the difference between the wise and the foolish was some had extra oil or some had more oil than others. Now, why did they have some have more and some less? And I believe that what gave the wise virgins more was that they were obedient to get more, that they were obedient to do whatever they were supposed to do at the time that they were supposed to do it. And the foolish ones thought, "Oh, I got plenty. and I'm okay. And they didn't really watch their condition. And I find that very, very revealing and very enlightening in light of the body of Christ today, that many Christians today feel like they're okay, that they're just like anybody else, that there really is no defining or distinction between them and any other Christian around. They're as good as the next guy. But really, what the Lord wants us to do is not compare ourselves with each other, but compare ourselves with Him. It said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And He's looking for a bride that's spotless, that's without blemish, that is holy and without wrinkle. And many people think that their condition is good enough, but I'm afraid that they are modeling the foolish virgins. You know, these, you think about a virgin, those are ones that even kept themselves pure, but they were foolish, pure virgins. So what makes the difference? And this is what I really believe it is that it's obedience. And that's because if you look back at the scripture that I mentioned back in Matthew chapter 24 a moment ago, is that he that hears my sayings and does them is the one who builds, is like a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And there's a connection there between the wise man and the wise virgin, and the foolish man and the foolish virgin, is that one was not ready when the test came and one was. And this is the difference, I believe, that's going to happen in the near future, that God is calling many people right now to alert and to be aware of the signs of the times, that the time of testing is coming across the land. And many of those that are listening right now will not be ready when the tests come, when the waters rise and the winds blow. And I'm afraid that if we all don't get on our face before God and seek Him with all of our heart, that when we look for Him, He won't be found. That we'll look for answers at the moment that we need answers the most, and they won't be found because we ignored His voice when He could be found. And I've seen more and more people today that feel like they're in such a state of comfort that they're not hungry. When I came to another land, as God directed my family and I here a couple of years ago, I was looking at the difference between the hunger of the people here versus the hunger of the people back in the States. And I asked the Lord, I said, "Why are they so hungry here, but they're not back in the States?" And the Lord asked me a question. And it was, "Have you ever been hungry while you were asleep?" And as I thought about it, I thought, well, no, not really. I never can remember ever being hungry while I was asleep. And all of a sudden it just dawned on me that lack of hunger is just a symptom of a slumbering spirit. That when things get so comfortable for so long that we tend to just take a big nap, and in a spiritual nap, that is, that we think that we're so comfortable, and we've had maybe such a comforting word. Maybe the pastor has been leading us on a widened road rather than a narrow road. You know, a narrow road is one of restriction. It's one that is restrictive. And, you know, when Jesus was talking about in chapter 5 of Ephesians, and He talks about this bride that is to be without spot, without wrinkle, or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish, He compares it to a relationship of a marriage. And He says in verse 5:21, "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." And part of that submission is actually an authority structure that God wants to put over us so that we are safe in a confined security of submission and obedience. And this is where most people don't want to be right now. They don't want to be in a place of submission. They want to do whatever they want to do, And there's so much rebellion against authority today that it really models much of the church even, is that they're not submitting themselves one to another. It goes on and says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. So there's a model of a submission to the Lord as she is submitted to her husband. And we find that's not really the case in much marriages today. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, let the wives be so to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And, you know, one thing I've realized recently, that the importance of authority and submission to authority, is that we really don't have authority in our own lives if we're not submitted to authority. Jesus was the ultimate example of authority, but he was also totally submitted to his Father. And even the centurion soldier recognized it when he said, I'm also a man under authority, and I tell this man to do this or do that, and he does it. And when Jesus saw this, he was amazed, because this man understood his authority, that this man had authority because he was under authority. And the authority that he had and his submission to it, the authority was transferred from above to below. And this is the way it is with us in our lives, that if we are rejecting authority, we are rejecting authority from above, we are rejecting authority in our own lives. And this includes authority over demons or anything else. So that's why it also says, therefore, when it talks about the that resist the devil and he'll flee, it says, therefore, submit yourself to God, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. The first thing that has to be done is to submit to God so that we have the authority for the devil to flee. Because if we're in resistance to God, why would the devil resist us? So the authority that we put ourselves under is so important in our life, because it actually gives us authority. And this is the model of a relationship and the love that goes on between each other in a husband and wife. And if you look at the example today of the fact that there are 50% of all divorce or all marriages end in divorce, and that is not only in the world but also in the church, then you wonder, what is the difference between the world and the church if the ratio of marriages end in the same divorce? Because I believe that it's just a manifestation of a hardness of heart. And it really is a manifestation of a hardness of heart to the Lord himself. And it's just coming out in the person that we see. Because what Jesus was Paul was describing here in Ephesians is very important to understand, that our model to our relationship with each other as a husband and wife is really the model of a relationship with the Lord. And I had a very interesting word the Lord gave me here just recently. He said, as many are lost in the church as out of the church. And I just kind of just, what? I just was so shocked to hear, words like that. And I couldn't even get the end of my what out. It even hit the T before he said, I'll prove it to you. And he said, what's the divorce rate inside the church? And I said, that's about 50%. And he said, what's the divorce rate outside the church? And I said, it's about the same. And he said this to me immediately. He said, as many are divorced from me inside the church as out. And that is a shocking statement to hear, that as many people inside the church have, their hearts are hard just as much as on the outside of the church. And this shouldn't be so. This is something that has to change, that we have to repent before the Lord right now and get things right with him, because he's coming back soon, believe it or not. I know he said soon many years ago, but soon is getting very soon. There's many signs that are showing up right now that are indicating that things are about to change in the world that we live in. And many of us are not ready for these changes. Many of us are still just living our life like everything is always going to be the same. And there really is just a spiritual slumber And I'm afraid that when everybody wakes up, they're going to look in their lamps and they're going to find very little oil in the lamp. There's not enough to keep them being able to see in the dark, because there is a darkness that's going to come over the land. And if the Lord is not in our lives and very prevalent in our life, we aren't going to be able to make it. We're not going to be able to see. You know, there's something I learned just recently, that when the Bible says that thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, that the lamp that they were referring to was just a little small, like almost like a little candle. And this light only gave the one that held that light the ability to see about one step ahead of him. And I thought that was so interesting, because it wasn't like a, you know, 3 million candle power spotlight that you can see a mile away. It was only enough to see your next step. And God's word, his rhema word that we need, is going to be just like that when it gets dark. We're going to need such a relationship with him that he can tell us what to do on a step-by-step basis. And now is the day to get to learn and discern his voice, because when the time comes that we need to hear his voice, that it will be so critical that we know it's him, because there may be a cliff 2 steps ahead of us, and if we're not walking with his light in front of us, we won't see it when it comes, that we'll go off the edge of the cliff. And when I said, Lord, I want to know your voice, this is when I first realized he was real. And he began to show me how to discern his voice, that I had to eliminate what I knew wasn't his voice. That it was critical through the years that I've walked with him that I needed to know, because I've made many difficult decisions in my life that have been his leading, but I didn't really know it was his voice until I actually obeyed. That the obedience of following what I believed was him was actually what helped me discern his voice. That had I not obeyed what I thought was his voice, I guarantee you I wouldn't know his voice today. But I had to take a chance to say, I believe this is the Lord speaking to me. Because he was speaking to me some things that were very difficult when I first got saved, and he was trying to teach me. And I had to be teachable. I had to have a teachable spirit. I had to soften my heart and allow him to change me from the inside out, because I'd gone through a lot, just like everybody coming out of the world. I'd gone through a marriage and divorce. I had gone through many disappointments, many reasons to be bitter and have a lot of unforgiveness in my heart. But I just chose that it wasn't the way I should be, and I didn't like the way I felt if I harbored things inside of myself. So I knew I needed to let things go. But when the Lord began to show me and teach me his voice, I had to suffer a little bit of consequences through my disobedience. And one night I wasn't where I should have been, and a hailstorm hit the car I was driving because he told me to go home and I didn't go home. Well, when I arrived at my house the next day in disobedience, I thought to myself as on my way home, I bet you if I'd gone home, this wouldn't have happened. And sure enough, when I got home, there was no damage, which was only a few miles away. And I heard the Lord speak to me, and he says, when I tell you to go home, I don't mean tomorrow morning. And I learned that this is what it really is all about, is that it's all about obedience, that God is looking for us and checking for us to see whether we really love him, because his word is true. And he said, if you love me, you will obey me. And he that loves me not doesn't obey me. It's like two sides of the coin. So right now, the Lord is really looking for those who love him, because he loves us. He loves us with an enduring love that desires us to love him back. You know, when God created man, it says that he created him in his image and his likeness. And I was thinking about this just the other day, and I was thinking about that if God is if we're like God, then in many ways God is like us. And if you think about the one thing that everyone needs, and maybe they don't realize it, but that we all need love, and that something that's inside of us, that we all desire love, to be loved. And it's interesting that you can take a little baby, and they've proven this, that babies that are in intensive care, that they've actually hired grandmas to come in and just hold these little babies and just snuggle the babies and just love on them. And they found that the babies that are loved by someone being in somebody's arms actually survive, have a much greater survival rate than those that don't. So there's something inside of all of us that desire to be loved. Well, if you look back the other direction, then that means that God has that same desire. And it makes sense to me that the purpose of our creation was He wanted someone to love Him, and He wanted someone to love. There's a reciprocation. And if you look in John 17:26, Jesus is the last words of His prayer to the Father was that My love might be in them and I in them. And this is what His desire was, is that His love would be inside of us. And why is that? Well, it's because we need His love if we're going to really love Him back with the same love that He loves us. Then we have to have that love inside of us, because we can't give away something that we don't have. That we have to have something in order to give that something. And so we have to receive it. And the Bible says that we love Him because He first loved us, meaning that because we received His love, that we have His love to give back to Him. And not only Him, but we have His love to give to others too. Because this is the kind of love that God is calling us to love our brothers with, and our sisters and other people. He said that we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourself. And that's real hard to do if we don't have His love, because we're always going to think about ourselves before we think about somebody else. We're always going to think about our needs before the needs of others. So this is something that we all need. We need His love, and He wants His love back. And that's going to be part of that demonstration as we walk this walk called life, and proving our love for Him by our obedience to Him and our desire to serve Him and to be the bride that He really wants us to be. Thanks so much again for joining us on Strength for the Journey. Again, our website is strength4thejourney.com, and we'll see you next time.